Ushers, you'd be ready to get the bulletins out. We're glad to have you here today, and thank you so much for coming. Good to have the... Are you going to sing right more, one more?
No.
Okay. All right. So, ushers, you get ready for take the offering. We thank God so much for you. Glad to hear to hear today. Just for a couple of announcements here. Our Vacation Bible School starts tonight at 6:20. We need you here for our for the staff meeting, 6:20. There'll be railroad spikes placed out in the lawn somewhere, and you can start looking at them at 6 o'clock. That's just for our drive-in crowd. That's not for our bus kids, but that's for our drive-in crowd. That's at 6 o'clock, and there's silver railroad spikes with a B that means boy, and a gold one with a B that has boy. That's where I think the gold one's worth 25, and the silver one's worth 10. Tickets, and that's always fun to do that. And then we'll meet in here at 6:20 for our staff meeting, and we'll go over some things we have. Also, that looks like I got one need to fill, right? I need 4 dozen of homemade or store bought cookies. Can anybody sign up for that? All right, thank you. That's for Monday night, okay? And then Tuesday, I see two more I need to fill. Tuesday, I need 8 dozen, 4 dozen each. Can anybody sign up for that? Thank you, Diane. And one more, another 4 dozen cookies. All right, thank you. All right, if you could have them here, that's great. Appreciate it. That's done. We're finished, right? All right, very good. All right. Yesterday, we passed out how many? Lots. I know we have 3,000 flyers, and they passed out a lot, traveled all over the place, and so hopefully we're going to get some feedback on that. Kids come to Vacation Bible School. Please bring your kids to Bible School. It's going to be a lot of fun. Registration begins at 6 o'clock, and we got buses coming in, and looking forward to that. And just good time. Good time. I wish I had my little deal too. On Monday, is it what? What night is it? Huh? Island night? Yeah, we all give you a lay, and you can come with your grass skirts and all that other stuff. Amen. Flowery shirts. Thank you, brother. Amen. And let's see. Tuesday night is sports night. Everybody's going to wear Vikings football uniforms. Amen. Say, what team do you like? That's the only team there is. By the way, that your brother? Her brother played for the Vikings, and she gave me one of his football cards. Thank you. I cherish that card. I really do. So he's a great ball player. And also then Wednesday night is Cowboy Night. And, well, actually it's Cowboy and Indians. And you can wear your Indian stuff, and you can wear your cowboy stuff. And it's a big deal. I mean, to wear your hats and your all that stuff. Thursday night is a special night. Lieutenant Bob Roosevelt, one of probably my favorite guys up the sheriff's office, is going to come and speak to the kids a little bit. He's kind of crazy, so please pray for him that he is careful about what he says. I'll just say that much. Amen. So I told him, I said, Bob, these are little kids. You got to be. So anyway, so I'm glad to have the Hope Baptist Church here. Thank you, Pastor, bringing folks out. It cost them a lot of money to come out here and helping us. And they're putting security cameras outside all the buildings, building number one, building number two, which is very, very, very good. And we're happy about that. Even we're putting a video camera in my office, so when people come in there, and I'm there's no question about it. So that's just a protection for me. Amen. There's no audio, so you can say what you want at me, but at least we're going to see you getting mad at me. But anyway, it's in color, so you can see the red coming out in your neck, you know, and your things coming out in your throat. Amen. So, or maybe me. Maybe that's it. Anyway. Yeah. Just for a little bit, as you know, I went back to Sister Mary Smith's funeral last week. The Lord worked it out just perfectly. Brother Smith called me up and says, Brother Shearer, he said, Mary went to glory. And I says, and we'd just been down there, and I preached a couple times for him in church and spent time, went out the lake with him and Mary, and I didn't think she was that sick. But she was, and she got septic, and she all kinds of stuff went on. Just went crazy. He'd taken care of her for 20 years. What an honorable man. And I couldn't but go, and I called my daughter-in-law. She had me on a plane within an hour. I packed in an hour, and I was at the airport. That's some speed, man. I'll tell you what. But I got certain things already ready to go, just throwing them. So went there. We had a wonderful time. Came there, and he picked me up about 1 o'clock, about 11 o'clock in South Carolina, and took me over. And he wept. He says, "I can't believe you came. I can't believe you came." I said, "Brother," I said, "you're one of my best friends." I said, "Gotta come." And so I stayed with him. I've done that before. It was as a chaplain. I've stayed with men that have families that have passed away. I've stayed with them during the whole thing. And I stayed with him and just ministered to him, ministered to his family, ministered to his church. And the church said, "Pastor, we want to pay your ticket." So they bought my ticket. I was going to eat it, but thank God they paid for my ticket and to fly out there and back. But we did well. I came home. I was coming home on Monday, Salt Lake City. The plane took off early and left me. So I was not impressed. But after I started thinking about it, they put me up in a hotel, and I went to sleep, and I slept. You didn't get much sleep with Brother Rudy. I mean, that was a good thing. I thought the bad thing turned into good things. So anyway, we're home, and we're praising God for the opportunity to serve. Brother Rudy wanted me to tell you that he wanted to thank you for sending his friend to be with him during this very special time of his life. Also, the Mount Sinai Baptist Church sends their greetings and thank you for allowing me to preach for them Sunday morning. And great church they have there. So anyway, thanks for being faithful. Thanks for staying with the stuff. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Tremondor, for just jumping on this, getting in the saddle and taking care of things while I'm gone. Appreciate it very much. All right. Well, we have a family that has a anniversary today. The Halls. 51 years. Would you please stand? We're going to sing happy anniversary to you. You all know that? Play it. No, that's too high. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary, God bless you. Happy anniversary to you. And at our church, we shoot off fireworks. I learned that in the Philippines. Yeah. They do. I'm not going to tell you some of the other things they do in the Philippines. Anyway. All right, usher, you come at this time, please. If you have forgot your tithe and offering like I did, I don't know why. I didn't have nothing to do this morning, but anyway, it's sitting right there on my desk, and I thought I had everything, but I didn't have everything. But we'll take your tithes and offerings happily tonight, too. Amen. It's always nice to bring your tithe. God tells us we're supposed to bring our tithes. And if you don't bring your tithes, he said, I'll curse you with a curse. Now, I'll tell you what, I don't like to have a curse on me, but he said, I'll give you a double curse. And he said, I'll bring the palmer worm, I'll bring the caterpillar, I'll destroy everything you had unless you... By the way, God always gets his tithe, whether you like it or not. He's going to get it. He's going to get it, so... All right. Pastor Wiggins, I'd like you to come at the pulpit this time. I've got something for you. Heritage Baptist Church got something for you. Every time we get a special man to come to our church, we want to give them something. Something to remind you of the Old West out here in Montana.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
I'm going to read this citation for you, okay? Dear Pastor Neil Wiggins, many cultures have symbols for a time in man's life that give a certain air of respect. These ways and symbols were when peers or more seasoned associates showed recognition of another's life. Would you please take out your present in there?
Sure.
These spurs represent an era in the culture of the West, a time when respect could very well be the only possession a man may have valued. A gift was often a sacrifice given from one's own possessions. Respect is earned, but is bestowed upon by others. When a man walks, his spurs have their distinct particular sound mixed with the weight of determination of the stride. The sound will remind the listeners of what sort of timber and quality a wearer's life shows. When observing a seasoned, experienced man, one who has proven and pursued what he believes, there are a few things that can be added from this world. His needs are few. His treasures can only be seen by those who walk with him. His steps are driven by the desire to serve his Lord by caring for those around him. Happy trails to you, Dr. S.C. Shear, pastor.
Yeah.
He's been pastoring my church back in Michigan 17 years. And I'll tell you what, I have a lot of relatives at that church, so I know about that church. And I do know that he has fought the fight. He's carried the cross. And I'm glad to know you. All right, ushers, come for this offering, please. Every time I come to Hope Baptist, I like to go to my home church. There's just something about it. Something about coming home. And I've seen some of these babies. How many was it? Three? I think when she was at the hospital, God made it so I could be there and see the babies. Amen. I think we dedicated a couple of them, didn't we? Yeah. Three of them. Amen. So it's just special. Can't explain it. Just something about it. So, amen. So, well, let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord Jesus, for loving us. Thank you for taking care of us. We ask you, Lord Jesus, you'd speak to our hearts and do a great work. And Lord, help us as we give today in Jesus' name. Amen. Mike. Some of you probably saw a little bit of the commotion. Pastor, you can come up and be ready to preach. Mrs. Joyce Robinson was having some difficulty breathing. And my brother-in-law is with EMS, and my sister is. And that's what I was going like that, send them some order, everybody wanted. So anyway, they went out and called the ambulance, and she's on her way to the emergency room. Pray for her that God is certainly with her. I know she has a procedure on Tuesday. So just pray for our dear, dear friend, Joyce Robinson, that God has certainly watched over her. You know, God sends the right people the right time. And praise God for you folks coming. And I hope you enjoy yourself. I know this is a busy week. This is crazy week around here. This is Vacation Bible. Don't miss it. Don't stay home. Come on. Come on and see what's going on. We can all use people back there giving out cookies. We like cookie pushers, amen. We like to get the kids to eat cookies. Just come over and see it. Just, and if you're older, you say, well, I don't know about that. It'll make you feel young just around these little ones. So just come every night. We start at 6:20, And we march them in at 6:45, and just a lot of things going on. I just happy to be your pastor. I'm glad to be here. And I tell you what, last week just drive me crazy not being home preaching, but I was trying to help somebody. So I hope that you have the same feeling about helping people like tonight. We need some help, so appreciate it. This is my pastor, Pastor Wiggins. Thank God for him, and been a very special man in my life. God bless you, brother.
Bless you.
Amen.
Well, we love Dr. Shear. Love it when he comes. It's a blessing. Montana's a beautiful state. Hadn't been here before, but beautiful state, beautiful country all around here. We were down in Yellowstone the other day. Beautiful. And then the drive here, beautiful and beautiful all around here. We're not used to this kind of thing. So we're used to trees. Michigan's beautiful too, but it's in its own way. And this is beautiful in a different way. So one thing I didn't know, and that is that I don't know how Dr. Shear grew up in Michigan and didn't get strapped with being a Detroit Lions fan. How did that ever happen?
I've seen him play.
Yeah. I've seen him play too.
Yeah.
And I'm strapped with being. I've seen him lose. Year after year after year. But I always have this little bit of hope that this is going to be the year, but I really know it won't be.
Won last year.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I doubt it. But anyway. But I still can't help but being a fan anyway. All right, so done by noon, right? This is going to be a challenge. All right, so Numbers chapter 13. I'm going to cut some of this back. Numbers chapter 13, and starting in verse 26, I'm going to read, I was going to read all the way down to chapter 14, verse 34, but I'm going to read verses 26 down through verse 28. 26 down through verse 28 of Numbers chapter 13. And when we're done reading that, we'll have a word, short word of prayer together. Let's stand together, we'll read God's word, and then we'll have a word of prayer, then we'll be seated. All right, Numbers chapter 13, starting in verse number 26. And they went out and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel under the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your grace through Jesus Christ. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us as believers in Christ right here in Great Falls, Montana, to live victorious Christian lives because of you. Lord, there is nothing too great that if you're in it, that we cannot accomplish through Jesus Christ. We thank you for that, Lord. And yet we're tempted to, like the children of Israel here in the book of Numbers, tempted to look at the enemy and think that he's too great. We can't do it. But Lord, help us to remember that you are greater than our enemy. And we'll thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, if you look at the passage here, I'm calling this message The Folly of Defeatism. Defeatism is when a Christian, only Christians who actually have the victory. If you're a Christian, you know the Lord is your Savior. Did you know you're victorious? Did you know that the victory is yours? We sing victory in Jesus because it's true. We have the victory in Jesus. We have everything in Him. There's nothing that He would call us to do that we cannot do. No good thing that He would withhold from us as His children. Isn't that a wonderful blessing to know that? We can have anything He wants for us that is good, we'll have it. And anything that He wants us to do, will do it because He's the one who really does it, isn't it? Faithful is He that calleth you who also will do it. He's the one who does it. He just calls us to be faithful and He says, you be faithful to me and I'll do it. And so someone who is a defeatist is a Christian who has the victory, but he lives or she lives like somehow there's no victory. They live in defeat. What a most pathetic thing when a Christian lives a defeated Christian life. What a horrible testimony when that's the case. It shouldn't be that way. Now, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you might be as smug and confident as you can be. It's amazing how a few of this world's trinkets can give people confidence that somehow they're victorious when really they don't have Jesus Christ. They are not defeatists. They are defeated.
Yeah.
Defeated without Jesus Christ as their Savior. If you're here today and you've not trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you may think things are going well in your life, but you are defeated. You don't have the victory. So you can't be a defeatist because you don't know the Lord. But for those of us who know the Lord, we have eternal life. We have the blessings that God has promised us. And we must live as if those blessings were really real. And as if God really will give them to us because He really will. That's what the Bible says. And God fully intends for the children of Israel in this passage to have the blessing of the land. He wants it for them. He sends them out to spy on it. Not so that they can come back and say, we can't have it, but so they should come back and say, what a land! Amen. This is what God has promised us. Amen. And He's going to give it to us. Well, 12 spies went out. Two of them came back with that kind of a report, but 10 of them were defeatists. How sad. I had 4 points here. I don't know if I'll get to all of them. But first of all, defeatism concessively appreciates faith's reward. You know, you can be a defeatist and still understand in your mind, I know the blessings that God has promised. They're good. Good blessings. It's wonderful to have a good Christian marriage. It's wonderful to have all these things that God has promised that we can pray to Him and He'll answer our prayers and we can share the gospel with others and people will come to Christ as their Savior. That's what these people did. They came back, they looked at the land and they come back in the first, in verse 26 here, they say, we saw the land. And it is a land that's a good land. They cut off a big cluster of grapes. They said, there it is. There's the fruit of it. We can't deny it. It's a great land. It's just like God told us it would be. It's a good land. There's some good things there. It'd be amazing if we could have that land. That'd be awesome if we could have that land. So they concede, just like we do sometimes, that, yeah, it'd be great to lead a soul to Jesus Christ. It would be great to open my mouth and preach the gospel. It'd be great to have a right relationship with my wife or my husband or my children to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It would be great to see God provide the needs that I have as He calls me to a certain work. I've seen God provide in amazing ways. We believed that God wanted our kids in a Christian school. And we had no idea how God was going to provide for that. And I thought, there came a year when God was amazing. I mean, people started sending us money in the mail. I never asked for anybody to send us anything. And we paid our tuition with that.
Amen.
I mean, and then even with all that, I'm sitting there thinking, how is this going to continue? We had even told the school, I think we're going to have to start homeschooling our kids. Well, we never homeschool our kids. My wife teaches at the school now. And God has provided in amazing ways. God calls you to something, He'll provide for it. He'll do it. Do we believe that? The children of Israel said, yeah, man, this is good stuff. Boy, if we could have this, this would be great. Unfortunately, that was not their attitude when it came to actually having it. They said, however, nevertheless, there's that word. Nevertheless, defeatism fearfully elevates faith's difficulties. Here it is, folks. The the word of the defeatist. Nevertheless, be that as it may, well, you know, realistically. Those are all words that defeatists use to suggest that though it would certainly be nice to have God's best for our life, it's not really possible. It can't really happen. All of this land would be a good land, nevertheless. Nevertheless, it's too hard. It's too difficult. We can't do it. They use this, they bring out these children of Anak. These children of Anak were renowned in the whole world for, they must have had a gene pool that was like, you know, Charles Barkley or something. I mean, just huge people. It's one thing today, you know, if you're not a huge people with our modern weaponry and warfare, you can shoot them. I don't care how. In fact, they're easier to hit the bigger they are, right? The bigger they are, the easier you can gun them down. But this was in the age of hand-to-hand combat. You had to fight hand-to-hand with these brutes. And it's like, whoa, that's no way. The children of Anak are there. Impossible. Too strong. We could never do that. God may have some land here that He says is good land, but He would never give it to me. I could never lead a soul to Christ. I could never open my mouth for the Lord. I'm too shy. I could never really have God's best for my family. Oh, it's a good goal, but I could never really get it. If you have belief and faith in God, He'll give it to you. He'll give it to you.
Amen.
The children of Israel, 10 of them didn't believe that, but there were 2 of them that did. We see here, fourthly, or thirdly, defeatism influentially corrupts faith assembly. If you're a defeatist, your defeatism will rub off on other people.
Yeah.
The Bible says in chapter 14, verse 1, after they get all this news, and now they've heard about how good the land is, but 10 of the spies are saying, we can't get it. Caleb is speaking up, and Joshua is going to say, but we can do it. We're well able to overcome it. And, oh no, 10 of them said, we can't do it. Verse 1 of chapter 14, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. Were they weeping tears of joy? No. They were weeping tears of unbelief. Can you believe that these people who had seen such great miracles from God, these people who had seen the plagues in Egypt, they had seen the great Red Sea parted, they had seen God supply them food and water, miraculously, these people actually believe that God has sent them to the brink of getting this land and that He's unable to get it for them. They're weeping. Oh, we wanted that so badly and now we can't have it. They're weeping. How sad. How horrible that these 10 spies could have such a negative influence over God's people. These people should have said, you people are nuts. You 10 are nuts. We serve a great God. He's able to do anything. But instead they're weeping in unbelief. Fetism rebelliously refuses faith labor. What was their problem? There is something about faith. There is something about serving God and getting God's blessings. God never promised it would be easy. God never promised they wouldn't have to labor. God never promised there wouldn't be a battle or a warfare. God never promised that no children of Anak would be there. The giants will always be there in the way. Satan will always be opposing us.
Yeah,
always. In fact, you better be concerned if he's not opposing you. If Satan's not opposing you, you ought to be concerned about it because he will oppose those who are genuinely serving the Lord. Yes, there's going to be hardship. Yes, there's going to be battle and victory, but it's going to be the Lord's victory. It's going to be God. The one thing these people never do The thing that Caleb and Joshua did, these people never did. They only pointed to how difficult things were going to be. They elevate how hard things are going to be. Never once did they talk about the power of God. Never once did they say, well, yeah, the enemy's powerful, and he is. I wouldn't take on the devil myself. That'd be a foolish thing if I were to do that. Foolish thing if you think that you can take on the devil in your own strength. You'll never survive it. But you know what? God is more powerful than he is. God is more powerful than the devil. Anything God has promised you, he is able to bring about. He's able to do it. Do you believe that? I mean, it's easy to say we believe it. Oh yeah! I believe it! And then we're confronted with a situation like this where we actually have to go in and fight these monsters. Well, it's real easy to pull back then, isn't it? You find out whether you really have faith or not at times like these. When the times get tough, when the battle gets strong, that's when you find out where your faith really stands. And how sad it is that defeatism ultimately loses faith's reward. These people lost. Ultimately, God says to him, okay, you want to sit and do nothing? You want to sit and not fight and not have the blessings that I promised you? Well, then you can just sit there for 40 years and think about it until your carcasses lay in the wilderness. You know, one thing about God, 40 years is not very long to God, is it? It's a long time to these people. It was their whole life. They wasted their whole life. Didn't get to see God's blessings. Didn't get to go into the land. Didn't get to experience the wonderful blessings of victory. They didn't get to see any of those things because they did not believe. Yeah, you can sit there and wallow in unbelief. God, listen, no one serves God by force. But if you want God's blessings, if you want to see God work, and there's nothing greater for any Christian than that. Nothing greater in my life than to know that God is with me. Nothing. And when you see that, you say, wow, that makes God real. These people languished for 40 years. And God, listen, if we want to sit there in our self-pity and wallow in our defeat, we can do it. But if we want to see God work, we're going to have to say, you know what? I'm going to choose to believe God.
Amen.
I'm going to be faithful to Him.
Amen.
I'm going to see His blessings in my life. And it'll be exciting. And it's going to be a blessing.
Amen.
And you know what? When we get to heaven one day, just imagine the blessings there. I can't even imagine it. When we experience the blessings here, we say, how could it get any better than that? But it's going to. But it's not going to on this earth if you live as a defeatist. When really, as a believer, if you know the Lord, the victory is yours.
Amen.
But it's in Christ.
Right.
We don't just sing victory, we sing victory in Jesus.
Amen.
There's a big difference between those two. We have no victory in ourselves. We have our victory in our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Do you know Him? Listen, if you don't know Him, you're defeated. Jesus died for you on the cross and rose again so that you could have eternal life. That was the price that was paid for your sin and for my sin. We're sinners. We don't deserve a thing from God, but Jesus died for us and rose again. And the Bible says simply, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. How simple is that? God says, I've paid the way for you. I've done it all. You don't have to do a thing. You just trust me. You just trust my work for you. And it's accomplished. And all the blessings along with it of this life and the next are taken care of. If you'll just trust me. Will we do that today? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? If you don't, you can do that today. You know, the Bible says there's only one way of salvation. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You can have Him today. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. If you do know the Lord, be careful.
Amen.
Listen, I've been a defeatist before. There have been times when I've doubted God. I get rebuked every time I do that. I regret it every time too. You think these Israelites didn't regret it as they languished in the wilderness for 40 years? I'm sure they did. So I've been a defeatist. We all have. But let's live in the victory that we have through Christ. Let's claim what God wants us to claim. Be faithful to Him, and He will do it. Let's pray. Father, You're great. You're a great God. You've provided us and promised great things for us. Forgive us when we don't believe You. As many times we're weak. Our flesh is weak. But Lord, we want to be blessed. We want to experience the victory that we have in Jesus. Help us, Lord, to recognize that You want to give us these blessings. The only thing standing in the way of them is ourselves and our unbelief. Lord, if there be one here that does not have Christ as Savior, I pray they wouldn't leave today until they know for sure that Jesus is their Lord and Savior from sin. And we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother?
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. My, what a wonderful sermon. Sure reminds us so many times of our faithlessness. That we would certainly stand true to the Word of God. No matter who follows, we just stand true. Thank God for Caleb. Thank God that he was willing to stand up and still the people. So I pray today, if any of you here today not knowing Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, today would be that day. There's nothing in this world more important than your salvation. Nothing. And I pray that today, if you don't know Jesus, your Savior, that you'd step out of that seat, walk down this aisle. Let me show you from the Word of God. I can know you're saved. Let's all stand here today and say, Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. I'm going to have a word of prayer and you come. Father, Holy Spirit of God, would You do Your work? We ask You, Lord Jesus, today. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for the powerful message we heard today about the being faithful and being faithless. Lord, I just pray You'd speak to our hearts now. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed. You're here today without Christ. Why don't you come? Let me meet you in the front here. Are you sure you're saved? Are you sure you're on your way to heaven? If you're not, hey, take care of that thing today. Maybe you're here today and you say, Preacher, I've been saved, but I haven't followed Lord Jesus Christ in believer's baptism. Why don't you come at this time? Let's take care of that. That's the first step in faithfulness. That's the first step that a Christian does, follow Lord in believer's baptism. Maybe you're here today and you say, Preacher, we want to become members of this church. This is where we want to serve God at. Why don't you come at this time? Maybe today you say, Preacher, there's some things that are going on in my heart and my life, and I've just kind of let up. I'm kind of like the Israelites. I saw the giants. I saw their great walls. I saw everything that was out there, and oh, it looks good as a Christian, but I don't know if I can take that step. Well, Jesus wants you to take that step, I'll tell you, because He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He said, I will follow you. Wherever, I'll follow you wherever.
I've been having a dream that it's been like being in the hospital. And I went to bed
to see someone terrible.
possible that someone could sense other people's pain, like an empath would be, but only from certain people, not from everyone, but from certain people.
Father in heaven, I pray today that you'd speak to our hearts. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this message that has spoke to my heart. Help us, Lord, to be faithful. Help us, Lord Jesus, to trust in you. Let us put those scriptures to say, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not onto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. O God, help us. Lord, help us now as we get ready for vacation Bible school and get all the things taken care of. Lord, I pray for safety. I pray for encouragement. I pray for joy today, Lord. I pray, God, that just they could find out what's going on. Please, God, give her that peace. And, Lord, thank you so much for loving us. Thank you for those who are sick today. Thank you for, I pray for Veronica and Devin as they're driving back from California. I pray, God, keep them safe. Pray for these others, Lord, the folks from Hope that have given up their jobs and given up their work for a couple weeks to come out and help us. Pray you bless them. Keep them safe as they do the things they need to do. Keep their minds straight in what's going on. And, Lord, I ask you for souls tonight. I pray, Lord Jesus, for these little boys and little girls that they trust you as their Savior. This may be the only time they'll ever hear it. Lord, I beg you. I just beg you, Lord Jesus, that you'd use us as your servants. And all God's people said, amen. You're dismissed.